All right, welcome everybody to the January 13th TSC call. As you are probably all aware, there's two things that we must abide by in these calls. The first is the antitrust policy notice, which is displayed currently on the screen. And the second one is the Hyperledger Code of Conduct, which is linked to our agenda. Of course, everyone is welcome to participate in these calls. And we will get started with our announcements. So as always, the announcement about the Dev Weekly developer newsletter that goes out each Friday. If you have any sort of content that you would like to be sure gets included in that Dev Weekly newsletter, please click on the link in the agenda. There's a wiki page that allows you to add comments or add anything that you'd like to be considered for the newsletter. Are there any other announcements that people have that are not currently listed here? All right, seeing no hands, I will take that as a no. So the first thing that we have on our agenda is the quarterly reports. As you can see from the quarterly reports, we have four outstanding quarterly reports that are due, with the earliest one being from December 6th. And we did receive the Hyperledger Cactus report this week. So thank you, Hart, for putting that together and for the additions that I saw come in last night to that as well. Are there any questions that anybody has on the Hyperledger Cactus report? And hopefully the one question that you had that was for the TSC about the marketing, I did see David did answer that question. So hopefully that's all good there. If there's no questions, there are still a few remaining folks who still need to review the report. Please take the opportunity to do that today. As you may or may not know, in the wiki, there is a way to see all of your open tasks. I would highly recommend clicking on your picture in the top right corner. Thank you, Rai, for demonstrating. And clicking on the task there, and you'll see all your open tasks. So Rai has some tasks that he probably didn't realize he had. That he'll go work on, I'm sure now. But anyway, there's everybody has their own set of tasks. And so please take the opportunity to go through that and look at what still needs to be reviewed from your end so we can get some of these reports that have been outstanding closed out from the TSC perspective. All right, so with that, I think the next item is a presentation about the Hyperledger Challenge 2022. So Arun, I know you introduced this topic for us. Did you want to set the stage and then we can hand it over to whoever is going to be presenting for us?
Sure, thanks Tracy. Hey everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I know a few days ago or maybe in one of our previous call last year, I discussed briefly about Hyperledger Challenge. So this has been in plan for a while now, and now we have concrete plans and a stage is set up for us to kickstart. I'll let Nancy introduce introduce the rest of the plan and the steps and the goals for the event without further ado. So over to you, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you, Arun, and thank you, Tracy, for the time on the TSC calendar. My name is Nancy Min. I'm the chair of the Social Impact Special Interest Group. As Arun had just mentioned, earlier last year, the Hyperledger India chapter had kicked off a HyperHack event, which was a hackathon that the Social Impact Special Interest Group also participated and collaborated on. It was a great event, and it was one of the first collaborations. And what we wanted to do was kind of pilot the concept of cross collaboration between special interest groups as well as the technical communities. And I think it was overall very well received, and we had a lot of great use cases and a lot of technical innovation They came out from the HyperHack event. And there were a couple of things that we kind of identified coming out from that event. One was that the development of true innovation doesn't happen over a weekend, and it surely doesn't happen just over over the night. So, and the other thing was that in order for a innovation to be truly sustainable in the long term, we needed a lot more community resources to do something like this. And so that's why we we're going to be piloting this Hyperledger Challenge 2022, which is going to be a multi-month, kind of like a marathon, with three phases: the ideate, prototype, and the launch phases. And the goal of this is to really develop sustainable, innovative, open source projects in the manner of months, with the goal of really kind of driving increased engagement and awareness of the open source community, in particular for Hyperledger Foundation, across new developer communities as well as new business communities. Do I have the ability to share the screen for the wiki page, or I don't know if
you should have a share screen at the bottom of Zoom. Let us know if you don't.
Let me just quickly share my screen.
We can see it.
Awesome, thank you. So as I kind of just mentioned, what we're looking for is any innovation that advances the current state of the art for enterprise-grade distributed ledger technologies, leveraging one or more of the Hyperledger projects. The goal of this is really to help each of the projects, working groups, and special interest groups drive awareness engagement of new communities into their platforms. So as an example of how we're going to be doing that, so we're going to be decentralizing the marketing approach, for example. So as opposed to having kind of a central forum for spreading the word on this event, we're going to be relying on each of the community members to engage with their communities as well as new communities and help use this Hyperledger Challenge as a way of kind of opening up that pipeline. So as I had mentioned earlier, there's going to be three rounds. Each of these rounds in the ideate phase, prototype phase, and launch phase is going to be approximately 2 months. In the ideate phase, the goal is to work with new developers and new innovators, really, to help them come up with new concepts and solutions. And then at the end of that, they'll submit a proposal to us of their concept. And those will all be posted on this wiki page so that the community can kind of share and also review and look at the great solutions that are proposed. At the outset of this, for the winners, they will be matched with mentors across the Hyperledger communities and also be given space in the Hyperledger labs so that they can start prototyping their solution. And so the prototype phase is another 2 months where they, we will encourage them to work with their mentors, and they can help identify themselves the resources that they need, and we'll try to match them with those. Across this 2 month prototype challenge, what we're looking for is for them to commit the code, develop something that really kind of shows the traction and the potential for their solution. And at the end of the prototype phase, we'll select 5 to 6 teams based on the great response, community engagement, and how well their solution really kind of fits within terms of that solution market fit. And at the end of the prototype phase, they'll be given space on the Linux Foundation crowdfunding site. So the goal there is for them to go out to their communities and identify additional follow-on funding and support to support their solutions. And so during the launch phase, they'll continue to work out their prototype, continue building their communities, and try to develop and find new follow-on funding and support. And at the end of the launch phase, what they'll get actually is an opportunity to present their solution at the Hyperledger Global Forum across a global community, and really be able to kind of look at that longer term innovation and how can they continue to develop out their open source projects as a follow-on to this Hyperledger Challenge. In terms of this, this is definitely going to be a very large effort. That's why we're, I was really excited to be able to speak at the technical steering committee because, I think you guys are steering the focus area of the Hyperledger Foundation. I would love to kind of get your involvement and invite you to kind of give me feedback and comments on how we can make this better across the overall Hyperledger Foundation. And so a couple specific asks that we have, one is, you know, if you can work, help us with spreading the word on this event with your communities. The second thing is if you guys would be willing, you know, you or folks that you know in your in the community that would be willing to serve as mentors. We actually have a mentor intake form right here for the call for mentors. That's going to be really critical because, you know, everyone here knows, right, even months to develop something that's truly innovative is really hard. So if, you know, the more great mentors that we can match each of these teams with, there's more potential that we can actually develop something that it has that sustainability in the long term. The other thing is, as I had mentioned before, we really want to decentralize this marketing approach and also use have this be a tool to engage new developers into the communities. And so we want to help, if you guys can help us identify like kind of challenge champions across the board. And so this could be leaders in the working groups, the projects that would be able to help us spread the word on this event and help us kind of curate the community to support the Hyperledger Challenge. And potentially, if you guys would be willing to kind of share your ear with some of these innovators, there's going to be sessions in the prototype challenge and the launch challenge where innovators will be pitching their concepts and ideas. And I'm sure they would love to have your feedback and comments on their solutions, especially, you know, each and every one of you know better than anyone else how to curate open source communities. So ways, you know, any insights that you can provide them as they're kind of developing out these solutions. You know, that would be really helpful. And I know, you know, at least, you know, if I were to do it, you know, that would be the one thing that I would really look forward to is presenting in front of the technical steering committee. So, you know, with that, you know, I'm open to any questions, comments, or feedbacks. Really appreciate the time again.
Thanks, Dancy. So I noticed the timeline, this kicks off next week. It looks like January 18th. Is that correct?
Yep. So what we are doing is we're just kicking off next week, but innovators will have about 1.5 months to propose a solution.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Nancy or comments? And then just so I'm clear, from what I've gotten from looking at this wiki page, the Ideate challenge is, if we click on that link, there's some more details about kind of what it is that you're looking for the teams to put together as far as the submissions go. And I guess the thing is they'll create basically a subpage to this. Is that the idea? On how they will actually go about submitting the idea?
Yes, yes. So okay. I'm right now working on the template for this. What will happen mm-hmm. is there will be a button and then they can create a subpage using the template.
Okay, yep. And then, I'm sorry, I'll ask for more questions. I assume that the prototype will be based off of things that have been ideated. Is that correct?
Yeah, so in the ideation phase, we're just really looking for concepts and just like a proposal. So it'll be about like 1,000 words that covers kind of the problems that they're trying to solve, the solution that they're proposing, the team, and what are the resource gaps that they have, and then a project plan for how they intend to complete and develop their prototype and the eventual launch of their other solution. And then the prototype would be the actual implementation and the development of that concept that they proposed.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for Nancy Kamush?
Yeah. So actually I went through this wiki page mm-hmm. and somewhere I found like we are kind of asking for the it should be the kind of Apache license after the this launch challenge phase, even the for the particular project. So maybe this kind of if this is the condition, then it could be maybe people will not submit that much ideas if we ask them to be open source their idea. Is something there or is not.
So yeah, you know, Kamlesh, I think you raise a really good point. You know, I think a couple of things that is really truly critical with running this challenge, in particular, you know, I think as an open source community, our goals are to curate and to develop follow-on innovations that really drive more solutions. And one thing, you know, I can kind of allude to, I think most major companies, their code bases are developed on top of open source solutions, right? Linux Foundation OS has been the core, you know, enabler and driver in that. And I think the success there is really seen, you know, if you look at, for example, like the internet, right, today, that's all developed on top of Linux Foundation code that's in the open source community. So the goal here is through the open source, through open sourcing their solutions, I think the opportunity is that we can get community-wide participation, right? A team of four is not going to be able to develop a truly sustainable solution, especially when they're new to the tech stack and they're new to this, right? So by open sourcing this, what we can, as a Hyperledger Foundation community, right, is to work with the community to help them identify mentors that everybody can work together and collaborate on and really kind of make sure that that solution gets developed out in a very solid manner. And so the goal is to really help reduce the barrier of entry to the open source community and also develop that long-term innovative solution.
When Arun, me and running this hyper hack, so always like we have some kind of the project owner, they don't want to share even the presentation of their idea. And now here you're asking about the contributing back to the, even their project code. So maybe we can have a less number of participation if adding this idea. But I think—
I think the goal, right, is to have high quality solutions that get developed out of this. I personally believe in quality over quantity.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
But thank you, I really appreciate your feedback.
Nancy, another question. Do we have a chat channel on the Hyperledger chat for this, for people to ask questions and, whatever they might want to discuss?
We do not, but Tracy, that's a really good point. I don't know, maybe probably need to work with someone, maybe the Hyperledger staff on opening up a channel.
Yeah, I think that would be great. It'd be a great place to point people to for any sorts of questions that they might have. Peter?
I just wanted to say that I think it's a good idea, and I would be happy to share it on the Cactus mailing list, for example, just to spread the word, like Nancy mentioned.
Peter, thank you so much. And if possible, would you be willing to serve as a champion for us of for the Hyperledger Cactus project?
I can try.
Thank you. I will follow up with you on that.
No problem.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Arun?
Hey, so on the chat channel, so that's a good question, Tracy. So we did have some conversation around how to reach out to a larger community and how do we get feedback from a larger community. And one of the points that came up in the discussion was, we also, along with running challenges, is a way of increasing community participation for us. And what we are looking for is, let's say if somebody is interested in building a solution using a particular project, we want them to also engage within that project mailing list or within that project chat groups more. And we don't want to end up creating an additional modes of communication only for the channel. And the champion concept that Nancy was talking about, so they take the initiative to connect to rest of the community who is organizing this event, right? So in terms of giving feedback, I mean, they serve as a front end people who will communicate to their communities or maybe spread the word within their team and take the feedback. So it's an idea. If that works,
And maybe for all these champions, we were thinking about reusing the chair's mailing list that is created. And probably we can extend that mailing list to include additional champions, if that sounds good. Again, open for suggestions. If we need to create a new channel, just that it would make us build a new community itself than increasing participation to existing projects.
And one thing just to add there, you know, potentially what we could do is have a Rocket Chat channel just for quicker communication, using the chair's mailing list and opening it up to the challenge champions. Just a way that way, you know, quick chat is, I think, a little bit easier than sending an email, especially when it's blasted to, so many people. So we could potentially do it that way. And, you know, we can continue to talk about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, my question is more around how do we get program level questions answered?
Yep.
And, you know, obviously, I think that chat is definitely makes sense, but I completely agree, Arun. I wouldn't want a Fabric question asked on this channel, right? I would ask the Fabric questions on the Fabric channel or the Basu questions on the Basu channel, right? So I think that, you know, we just need an easy way for people to contact folks like Nancy and other people who are, you know, running this challenge in case they say, like, I'm lost here. I'm not sure what to do. I need some help, right? And then I think the second thing that I was going to comment on as well, right, related to the open source aspect that Kamlesh asked about was that, you know, I think in the prototype space, if they want to open a lab, that would be an easy way to get themselves, you know, a space in GitHub for doing that right now. Maybe not everybody wants to open a lab based on what Kamlesh said, based on his experience with the hyper hack, but I think there'll probably be a few people who would like to, you know, do that, and we can definitely help them through the process. You know, we've got the lab stewards that will help them. So Kamlesh, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, so regarding this, having a separate channel on the Rocket Chat, I think it will be needed because it is a long running 6 month kind of idea challenge and kind of complete hybrid challenge. So there could be many questions related to the operational and management of the specific thing, and maybe not related to the project question, but in general about the challenge part. It could to have one separate channel where it could be discussed about the operational management regarding the challenge. And regarding the project, it could be asked in the separate, whatever the project they are using.
Thank you so much for your comments on this. This is definitely something that we're gonna be coming out with additional information on with respect to the role of the challenge champions and how we intend to engage. One thing that we have been thinking about is hosting like a monthly discussion across all the champion challenges that will be open to the Hyperledger community to listen in on and talk about programming details. And you know, to Tracy's point, I do agree that the channel on Rocket Chat would be really helpful with quick things as they arise.
And also, we are in line with you, Tracy, on open sourcing to Hyperledger Labs. In fact, that was one of our proposal, that all projects be open sourced under Hyperledger Labs.
Yes. Yep.
Great. All right. Any last questions for Nancy?
I have one more request to everybody on the call. So along through the challenge, as Nancy pointed out, we may end up getting more participation who may need help, who may want to understand how a specific project works, who could be just getting started or who could be in certain stage where they want more help from a project. So we may request you to come forward and run through series of workshops or hands-on sessions for your project. And we will work with Hyperledger's team to set up those meetings or the calls to enable those meetings. And we definitely need your help from multiple regions. So if you have your community in other regions as well, please do spread this information to them, and also about helping us to run a workshop kind of session.
Hart?
Hey, Arun, can we reach out to you or someone else about getting people to volunteer? I know some people that might be interested, but I think, you know, encouragement coming directly from the source will be more effective than if it comes indirectly.
Nancy, do you want to answer that? So we do have intake form for mentors and volunteers, and that would be a best way to onboard themselves to the program. And in terms of communication, we will figure out, I guess, we need to figure out depending on how big the community would be.
Yeah, Hart, I think you raise a really good point. Right now with this intake form, we're just looking for some very basic information and expressions of interest to be mentors. The next step of this would be to host a kind of call with all the mentors and talk a little bit about what that role would entail. Do you have any particular concerns around driving engagement for the mentors that maybe we can think about a little bit more?
Sure. I mean, I guess people typically see a lot of mail from blockchain stuff about help with this, you know, mentor with that. And I mean, you guys have put a lot more effort than most things that at least I get around this sort of thing. So I just don't know if there's an effect. I'm wondering if there's an effective way to sort of convey that, to say like, hey, this is something you really should sign up for. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So if it's okay, I'm just gonna take this as a note and think a little bit more about this, but I will follow up with you in particular on this topic.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I have some people that, I mean, my sort of context is I have some people that I would like to sign up as mentors, but they mm-hmm. may need a little push. Mm-hmm. And like the push would come better. The push would be better coming from someone directly affiliated with the challenge than from me.
Yeah, that's all. If that's the case, Hart, I'd be happy to have like follow-on calls with the folks that you mentioned. You know, happy to try to be persuasive.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, Daniela.
Yeah, just a quick, I think this is fantastic. Min and I and the team spoke last week as well. I think this is a great initiative. And Min and Arun and others, I think we can do, along to the heart, you know, Hart's question, getting the word out. We can help with that as well. And I have some additional ideas that we can try to leverage. So thank you so much. I think this is a fantastic way to start 2022. And we're really looking forward to working with you on this and making it a success.
Yeah, just to add to that, you know, this wouldn't be possible without the support of the Hyperledger staff. So I really appreciate for their continued support.
All right. Thank you so much, Nancy, for presenting this to us. TSC members, we have a few call outs, a few ask at least at a minimum to help advertise this to our networks, but also to be mentors and champions for this and to really get the word out. And so appreciate, Nancy, you coming to the TSC and presenting. We look forward to kind of where this goes, and let me know if and when you'd like to present again on how the challenge is going.
Absolutely, thank you, Tracy.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I think the next thing on our agenda is let me share my screen here. I believe this is the screen we want.
You beat me, Charlotte. Right.
That's okay, no worries. So hopefully you guys can see the importance of TSC quarterly project updates.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, when I share, it's really hard to see people. So appreciate that. So yeah, this is the kind of action item that I took from last week for what we needed to put together based on our discussion of trying to highlight the importance of these TSC quarterly project updates. So it's really short and to the point, but really just try to call out where we use these project reports besides just checking to see if these things are healthy or not, the projects are healthy or not. So I did see, Arun, your comment here, whether or not it would help if we had a section in the Hyperledger website, kind of an executive summary section to see what's happening, what's the latest. I know, Arun, you had worked on that website last year around kind of doing some of this automatically. But I guess the question is, are you suggesting, you know, something more formal in the way of trying to put together an executive summary for the last quarter or what that might look like or what you had in mind there?
Sure. So, I mean, at least like, this has been one of the challenges that I face. I'm not sure about others, but I believe hearing from the previous conversations that most of the organizations, they do ask for an executive summary of what's happening within the community. It could be for a new initiative that they launch, or it could be for an existing project. They would like to understand the health and what's happening within the community. So I feel the project quarterly reports is a great way of communicating that status. If they could be interested in a specific project that they are interested in picking up, or they could be interested in the project that they are already live using it. But that still does not serve as an executive summary. It's still a lot of content for a summary part, right? So what I was arriving at is when I saw this page with importance of TSC quarterly report, why don't we put this as one other benefit to have that quarterly reports filled up? So sure, it helps those people who are looking for executive summary, and because this would be extract from the quarterly reports, but it's a major incentive from a project team that their project latest features and the latest updates are being showcased holistically outside on the Hyperledger main site. My thoughts. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Arun. I've been wondering, and Daniela, maybe this is more a question towards you, but you know, every month I put together at least one slide, if not multiple slides, related to what's happening in the TSC to report to the governing board. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if we can, you know, put those into some sort of shared slide deck that we might share publicly, you know, either through the wiki, the website, in some way, right? Mm-hmm. That particular slide or set of slides that I share might be made public.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. So yeah,
and this was discussed in like an October governing board meeting. I know you weren't there right before you came, that this would be something that the governing board would be okay with. Obviously, you know, some of the matters of the governing board are not public, but some like this would be, and that the chair of the TSC, who's the representative on the governing board, would be able to publish. So it's very timely, and it's 2022. So let's get that done.
All right, sounds good. So yeah, I definitely have already the slide for the first governing board meeting that's happening here in January, or at least going to be sent out for January. So you know, I think this is a great time to start sharing those publicly, and we'll find the right way to do that. At a minimum, it'll be the slide that I put together and send to the Hyperledger staff for inclusion in the governing board meeting, but you know, we'll see if there needs to be something else beyond that. How does that sound, Arun?
Sounds okay to me.
Okay. Art?
Hey, thanks, Tracy. So I think this document does a nice job of providing some of the reasons why the project, you know, reports are useful. Does anyone have any recommendations on how we can take this back to the projects and sort of convince them that it's useful? Because a lot of these are very useful at sort of a higher macro level, but if I'm just some maintainer, you know, would this convince me? So I guess what I'm wondering is how can we go back and use this to convince the projects to put information in the quarterly reports and to do them on time?
Yeah, it's a good question, Hart. You know, in the end, I do believe that maybe it's not obvious. Maybe we need to be more blunt on this page. But one of the things that I think it does is lend itself to people using the projects, which in turn lends itself to potentially new contributors coming in, which may end up having more people wanting to be maintainers, right? So it's not completely intuitive or obvious that that's the case, right? But the more you get the word out about your project, the more likely you're going to see people using and wanting to contribute, is my thought. So that to me is, I think, the carrot side of the house, right? Instead of the stick side of the house that we were talking about last week with the issue of, you know, if somebody hasn't submitted their quarterly report, what do we do? So that's I think, where I'm at. Hart.
Do you think that's enough of a carrot for a project like Fabric, say, that, you know, has tons and tons of marketing and, you know, lots of people? If you're looking for Fabric and how to get the word out, there are tons of blog posts. There are tons of things that are more accessible than the quarterly report.
Yeah, that's another good point.
I can tell you this would motivate me to do it. So
it would not. Is that what you?
It would. Talking from a Fabric maintainer perspective, I'm still motivated to do quarterly reports for these reasons.
And Dave, I wanted to apologize for the calendar snafu. I had bumped the calendar for one in one place and not the other. So I'm going through right now fixing all the calendar stuff. So that was my oversight. I apologize.
Okay.
All right. So Hart, we've got one vote for yes, it would be enough. Whether or not that's great for everybody, I don't know, but we at least have one vote for that. Peter?
I have two ideas on addressing that specific concern that was just raised, that it's not being seen by enough people. So the first idea there would be to recommend to projects to publish these reports themselves, either on the project README or in some other markdown document that the README links to. And then the second idea, which I'm not even sure if it's a carrot or a stick, everyone can decide for themselves, but we could say that we will start publishing the quarterly reports in some high visibility area of the organization, like the developer newsletter. And then that could give additional motivation to people thinking, well, I have to go and write that quarterly report, and I actually have to put in the best parts that I want to highlight, because people will read this and I will get more contributors if I do it right.
All right, thanks, Peter. Hart?
Sorry for all my talking.
That's okay.
I want to push back on a little bit of this, because generally speaking, the quarterly reports are not super useful or necessary when projects are doing well, right? The most important aspect of the quarterly reports is to see sort of, you know, is for the TSC to see that projects are sort of not doing well and to be able to help them, you know, in sort of whatever way they can, right? And so if I'm a project and I submit a negative quarterly report, I say, hey, you know, things aren't going so well. you know, here's why we think this is the case. You know, that's the most useful information to the TSC. And, you know, if I'm a project that submits this negative quarterly report, I'm not sure I want this like marketed, you know, like, you know, Hyperledger XYZ struggling with blah, 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 right? So I'm not sure that this is really what we want to do, because it might encourage people to sort of write like falsely positive quarterly reports, right? I mean, we want people to sort of be able to express issues, right? You know, and say, hey, we're having problems, we need help. And I'm not sure if we, you know, if this is like going to the governing board, this is great, right? You know, the governing board can see the issues. But if we're saying let's market these, maybe that's not the best idea.
True. Yeah, I can see that.
Nathan?
I think the other thing that we're grasping for here is, gosh, it would be nice to be able to brag about some of the projects we're not as tightly involved in. And certainly the marketing folks would love to have more content and material. I think most of the folks that we've listed here in bullet points that might reshare this information are smart about what they're going to reshare. I think it's fair to call out that the quarterly reports are internal use reports. They're not really meant to be published in a press release, but they are useful tools to figuring out what could be published and what could be marketed. And I think that's what we're grasping at here, is even for a project that's doing really well, there's probably a bunch of stuff you could put in your quarterly report that would help us take it to the next level, or, you know, publish all those good things that are going well. And, you know, we don't want it just to be about, gosh, we had a problem finding maintainers, or the build was late, or we had a hard time turning around this CVE. We want it to be about all the things that are going on in the project. It's meant to be a snapshot that tells the truth, not just the good and not just the bad.
Yeah, I agree with that, Nathan. I think it's important that we see the whole story, right? Not just a piece of the story, be that good or bad. You know, I think that the other piece too is that these project reports, and maybe this is something that should probably be highlighted here, right, is if we see that there's, you know, a third of our projects that are struggling with some particular problem, right, and they're all struggling in some similar sort of way, it might lead the TSC to say, you know what, there's something here that we need to spend some time on to think through and really, you know, decide if there's something that we can write as far as best practices or guides that will help our projects as they struggle with this particular issue. You know, I think that we have done a reasonable job in the past of picking out things that have been highlighted and trying to address those problems in the TSC. Right now, maybe we've not always been successful in that, but I think that they do give us direction as far as things that we should be focused on. So completely agree with you, Nathan. All right, any other thoughts on this particular piece?
I have a question, actually. Shouldn't we try to implement some sort of template for this quarterly review project reports? So, because the question I'm asking myself is, what are the actual point of having this report, and what we are trying to achieve by reading this report? So, you rightfully mentioned that we're trying to understand or assess the health of the project, or whenever they struggle with a certain problem, so we'll be able to address, or we will be aware of them. But you know, shouldn't we be a bit more precise on what are the problems we are trying to look, or what are the metrics of the project healthness that we would like to measure in this report, and implement some sort of the template just to look after?
Yeah, so Artem, we do have this template here. that we put together surrounding the project updates. So each of the different projects would use this to go through. I noticed my link goes to the wrong spot, so sorry, I got distracted. So we do have this. Jim Zhang last week suggested that maybe we need to go through this again, this template, and see if there's other things that we need to be including in here, things that are maybe not relevant anymore, things that we should change in this particular template. So I encourage you all to have a look at this template, and if there are any sort of suggestions or sort of things that we think are overkill or that we should add, right, to this particular template, to let us know, right? Jim, like I said, has taken on the action to kind of go through this and provide kind of a first sort of readout to the TSC about things that could change, but I'm sure he would appreciate any thoughts or input into that as well.
Okay, thanks,
Tracy. Peter? Yeah, no problem.
Could we have a simpler template for those who are in the camp of my project is small and I don't want to spend too much time on it? And for them, there would be just two questions. Is your project alive? You know, true or false? Do you need any help from the TSC? True or false? And then if you need help, then continue typing. Otherwise, this is it. And then we could maybe convince them to use the simpler template if they feel like that's all they need.
Hart.
So I've said this before, but I'm curious, and this might involve a good deal of work, but I'm curious about the degree to which we could automate a lot of this stuff, particularly with LFX, right? So like releases, right? You know, that should be something we can pull from GitHub, right? You know, overall activity, right? You know, I can pull the like email and chat, number of messages, response time, all of that stuff, right? Contributor mm-hmm. diversity, maintainer diversity, all of this, you know, at least in theory, we can just pull automatically, right? And if we do this, I don't know how much work this would be. But if this were possible, it would, you know, potentially give people reading the report much better information. And it would also sort of save time writing the reports, right? You don't have to go back and click and, you know, copy and paste like, oh, here's this release, here's this release, you know, was this before or after the project? You know, was this before or after the last report? So sort of all of this kind of stuff. You know, I think the more we can automate here, the better. And I don't know how possible it is to integrate this into the quarterly reports, but LFX does have a lot of this information pulled already.
Yeah, and I know that's been suggested many times, Hart. So I know it's something that Jim was interested in doing as well, as taking a look and seeing what might be automated, what might not be automated. So Peter, I did ignore your question. I was hoping somebody else had a thought on your question or your comment before I jumped in to respond. It wasn't that I was like, okay, I'm not gonna answer this. So I did wanna come back to it. I have some initial reaction to that, and it's not a good reaction. So that's why I'm struggling to try and respond to it. And I think that a lot of this has to do with how do we know whether a project is truly struggling or not? Is a yes, no answer enough? I think that, you know, the more words you can put behind a yes answer or a no answer allows for people to really truly understand that full scope of the picture. Now, I also understand that people are saying, hey, we're healthy, we don't want to move, you know, we don't want to spend a whole lot of time on these project reports, or we're a small group of people, and we don't really have a lot of time to spend on what we would consider busy work, right? And so I think that what we have to do is find alternative mechanisms, be that the automation of information that will help us to understand what's going on, or something else, right, that would allow for a yes answer to make sense to us, or a no answer to make sense to us. So Dave, and you're first.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the template is too bad, to be honest. I think it would help to automate a few things, like we can get commit counts and things like that pretty easily, I would think, or we can at least tell people, you know, in a more automated way how they could get that themselves to put in the interim. But I don't think it deserves like a separate template for smaller projects or anything like that. I mean, people can put in as much or as little as they want. I haven't found it to be too, you know, overly onerous. And I think words do help in addition to like metrics. Words tell a whole different story, or can tell a whole different story than the metrics. So I think at least give people the opportunity to answer the various template fields, I think it's still a good idea.
Thanks, Dave. David?
A couple of thoughts. One, in terms of the busy work angle, we had heard that from the SIG chairs that doing a quarterly report was too much. So we did move to twice a year. So, you know, every 6 months, and that could just be something to consider if that is really a concern, if every 3 months feels like too much. And then plus one to all the comments about automation. I do think there might be some key metrics we do want to look at more regularly, and that could be something that gets pulled from Insights or pulled from other ways. You know, Arun has pulled some data from Start Here. I think the data is out there. We just have to but the dog. We have to decide what's relevant, and I think the data is there. We can pull it together if we want.
Yeah, and I would hesitate to go to twice a year. I know that one of the projects that is currently overdue for their report actually hasn't had a commit in 6 months, but yet we're just kind of finding out now that things are not happening in that project because they're not submitting their quarterly report. So, you know, I think if we wait 6 months, then we have the potential of a year going by before we realize that nobody's been doing anything on a particular project.
For sure, but that's without the automation. If we had some sort of, in addition to the reports, we also had some sort of automated data about projects that would get flagged in theory.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you look in the Hyperledger community, whatever it's called, lab, there is a project reports feature in there that actually uses GitHub stats to return results about kind of the new contributors, the contributors that are active, the contributors that are falling away, the contributors that are core contributors versus regular contributors versus maybe one-time contributors. So there's actually a lot of detail that you can get from the GitHub stats about a project and the success of that. And I think, you know, we just, however long it's been, maybe it's been a year now with the pandemic, I have no sense of time anymore, but the LF Insights Write tool is somewhat new and has definitely been introduced since we introduced the project reports back in the day. So I think there's a lot of things that we might do differently. Rye?
Yeah, if I could share my screen for a second.
Oh, sure. Yeah, let me stop sharing.
So this is a rendered version of the tool that Tracy just mentioned. It's pretty easy to run. And it's, well, I don't, you know, there aren't a lot of greens as I look across all the projects. But let's see, maybe the overall Hyperledger one will show. Like here are the new contributors to Hyperledger in the last quarter, I think. I would encourage anyone that has interest to grab that tool and give it a run.
And the great the great thing about the tool is it can be run across any repo or set of repos that you want. So, and you don't have to look at the health summary. You can just look at the detailed summaries of, you know, who's new, who's contributed more than once, who's active, that sort of thing. So happy to help anybody who wants to take a look at that. David?
Hey, David, you're on mute. I'm going to guess his hand is up by accident.
From before? Okay. Yeah. Maybe we've lost David. The dog asked him to go outside or something. All right. Any other questions or comments about kind of the importance of project reports? All right. So there was one other thing on the agenda that we will not have time to get to today. It is the kind of services for projects and labs that David and Rye had put together. And David had taken the opportunity to move that to a table format. I know he's already got some comments from that, but please take the time to review that and provide any sort of additional thoughts or input to David on that. We will also then at some point in a future TSC meeting, take a look at, you know, these differences between the different projects and labs and what is available for them. As we want to think about, you know, are there additional sorts of things that we should offer to a graduated project versus a lab or versus an incubated project?
And Tracy, thanks for pointing that out. And I am here and I was dealing with some dog stuff earlier. So sorry. No worries. But there has been some initial comments so far. So thanks for the feedback. And maybe between now and the next time we talk on our end, we can do some brainstorming about additional incentives, because I've seen at least two people mention that maybe some additional resources are needed at the graduated level. So if everybody wants to be thinking about, if it feels like some more incentives are needed, what those would be, that would be great. But we'll do some thinking on our end as well and bring some ideas.
Sounds great. Thanks, David. All right. So with that, we are at the top of the hour. I'm going to close. So thank you for your participation, and we will see you again next week.